So yes, Lord, we really do need you to change our minds. So any resistance in us, remove it now. And we determine to allow you to meddle in our lives. Even that testimony Jay gave, Lord, that you have permission to meddle into our lives and to adjust things, highlight things, heal things in us, deliver us, remove those things that are contrary to your nature. So who wants to read? I'm going to start off. I'm not going to get into too much commentating. I'm going to try to discipline myself here. But we're going to go ahead and chew on Romans 6 more, but I want to tie that into 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 18, because Paul is going through some real life stuff here. Some of the trials and the tribulation that we all go through. So I want to start off with that without going into too much depth, but start reading from verse 7. Who wants to do that? And do it with a loud voice so we can get it on the recorder.
But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about the body of dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life also Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore, I have spoken. We also believe that therefore speak, knowing that he raised up Jesus, Lord Jesus, shall raise us also up by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many abound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day.
You can stop right there. What I wanted to key in on here, we're going to tie this in to Romans 6, is there's this statement in verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Okay? Let's go to Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So just skating and allowing these things to root in us is never the Lord's desire. It's God forbid. What is sin, guys? Missing the mark.
Relationally.
Okay. Too. Missing the mark. And what we do here is we always center around Christ. We center around relationship. So I believe it's less as far as getting the results of a real disciple. In other words, living like a real disciple. A people who look like Him, who smell like Him, who talk like Him, who walk like Him. You know, that real discipleship is based relationally more than behavior. So if you have the relationship, the behavior is aligned. I believe that. We're going to be kinder to each other, more loving with each other, more patient with each other, more sacrificial, forgiving. All those wonderful attributes that I believe we all long for, we apprehend it through relationship. And we call that really, our theology is Christocentric. Amen? So what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. To settle that for the record. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer thereunto? So if sin is missing the mark, okay, how can we live unto sin? How can we live unto missing the mark, meaning that we're going every other direction than Him? Good things could also be sin unto us. Because we'd be putting hope in good things, and now we lose Christocentric. Our religion can be sin. Because we're missing the mark. Who's the mark, guys?
Christ.
Christ is the mark. So let's not think behavioral. Let's think person. He is the mark. We don't want to miss Him. And we know when we have Him, because the Word says, you know a tree by its fruit. An evil tree cannot bear good fruit, and a good tree cannot bear evil fruit. That's like a check engine light. So see, our emotions and our behavior should be a check engine light. If it's not the fruit of Christ, we don't go into condemnation. Romans 8, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. That's a key. In Christ. But if we have things going on that is not in Christness, that check engine light, we thank God for it. We want to feel the emotional experiences, but let's not be buried in these things and then we're off sideways in the ditch. Let's respond very, very quickly to the Lord and not miss the mark. Let's not make provision for missing the mark. Let's very quickly align with the person of Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. He wants relationship with us, guys. He wants relationship with us. He really does. Yeah. And He's not going to negotiate that. He wants intimacy with us. So look what He says here. He says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer thereunto? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the newness of life. See, we're called to walk in the new man. That's our identity. That's where we have fulfilled life. That's where we have the sense of a purpose. And that's a place where we sense like, hey, you know when you're like in, you're in design? You know when you're in design. You feel so good on the inside. You have a new jump to your step. You might have a song in your heart. It's like, I'm aligned with design here. And guys, when we don't have that, we feel it. Why? Because He wants us to repent, come back into alignment relationally with Him. And He's going to continue with some very, very good instruction here. Paul to the Romans, that I believe practically can help us in our moment-by-moment lifestyle, every day making these decisions. Because guys, being a disciple is not like, I said a magic prayer 25 years ago, now I live my life any way I want to live my life. I'm on the throne of my heart. Selfishness must die. And here's the good news. It has been crucified. It has been buried. And now we live unto God. Our life is rendered. Our life is reckoned. Our life is given over to God. And this is very, very important of where our minds are focused. It's mindset. Because it is finished, guys. Is Christ a liar?
No.
He's not a man that he shall lie. Did he die, was buried, and rose again?
Yes.
He is the resurrected God-man. Is that the truth?
Yes.
So we establish that he is resurrected. We establish he's not a liar. Therefore, when we understand by revelation what that meant and that we were crucified with Him, we were buried with Him, and we rose with Him. That nature is dead, guys. It is dead. We are not obligated to sin. We're not obligated to selfishness. We're not obligated to be arguing with each other and posturing and we're not obligated to feeling lesser than. We're not obligated to fear. We're not obligated to arrogance and just pursuing the idolatry of the... We're not obligated to it. It has no more hook in us. It has no more grip on us. It has been crucified. It has been buried. And now our lives are resurrected in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, to live differently. And the living differently is unto Him. And the unto Him is everything you're looking for. Fulfilled life. The sense, I matter. I'm valuable. But guys, it will never, ever, ever be found in that dead man. It is not. So I'm going to continue here. And he says, verse 5, we just talked about newness of life. That is how we're called to walk. Verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Now look at this. Verse 6. Knowing this. And here lies the problem, I believe. So may today it be forever settled in our minds, saints. Please, for your sake. Knowing this. Be convinced of God. This is the truth. Knowing it. Not being persuaded anywhere else other than knowing that this is the truth. That we can walk in newness of life. We can walk as a resurrected son. Citizen of the kingdom of God. We really can. And I believe it lies in our mind. Knowing this. And so we go through our day trying to bring things very, very practical. And things start piling up. We feel like we're being dogpiled by life. Now we forget. And as we're forgetting, we don't realize, I'm not obligated to that sense of depression. We forgot that we're called to walk in newness of life. We're not obligated to be tempted to fornicate or to lust or pornography or rage. We start forgetting. And now if we make provision to live in that place of forgetfulness, you go a day, you go 2 days, you go a week, you go a month, all of a sudden we begin to live a lifestyle contrary to what was paid for at the cross. And we wonder why we're depressed. We wonder why we feel like lesser than. We wonder why we're, you know, feeling like we're being beat up on by life. May I submit to you, it's more simple, saints, than we ever imagined. And I tell you, the Lord is really gripping me on this. Jeff, it's in your mind. And that's why it says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is what I want to lay foundation for today. Every single day, guys, I want to exhort you to meditate on who you really are in Christ. Don't let a day go by. If it's dozens of times a day, even with your own mouth, confess who you are in Christ. Amen. So he says, knowing this. So guys, every day, knowing, what is this? The this is all those things I struggle with in my life as a born again, new creation of God. Knowing this is those things contrary to who He is in me is dead. But the same energy and tenacity to render those things dead, let's take that energy to say, and I am going to walk in the newness of life. I'm going to walk in my true identity. I'm going to walk in Christ. Guys, get this. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. But I'm going to encourage you. And please encourage me. Because we got to have the reality of the kingdom of God swallowing up all these lies. You heard Jay's testimony. Honestly, that is not life, Jay. And thank God you got a hold of life. I mean, you heard his testimony, the torment. Millions and millions of churchgoers are going through the same thing. And I believe it's because there's been a lack of discipline on the inside just simply to begin to meditate and believe. To meditate on what? Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Knowing this, meditate, chew, rehearse these things every day, multiple times a day, and I really believe there's going to be manifested change. I believe that. And so what I want to begin to implement here as policy, that we're daily, two or three times, encouraging each other. Are you thinking on the Lord? Are you thinking of who you are in Him? Are you thinking on this? Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin? Are we encouraging each other to meditate on these things? Because I really believe as we meditate, chew on these things, speak these things out, speak them over ourselves, I tell you, I believe, because God's not a liar, right? We're going to line up with this truth. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. So Jeff, man, I've just been struggling all my life. I've been going to church for 30 years. But still, when it comes to manifested victory in my life, no one's taught me, no one's encouraged me, it has not taken hold in my soul, what it says here. For he that is dead is freed from sin. So a discipleship can never bypass the cross and the burial of that old man. We don't live at the cross, but we're always anchored to the cross. I look at the cross as being like a doorway to resurrection life. But we want the resurrection bennies and still be selfish. We want the resurrection bennies and still live unto ourselves. Though he says, render it dead. This is the truth. Then he continues, verse 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. And I believe there's a key here. I believe if we employ our energy, our thought capacity, our meditation, what we say, if we take these things, guys, and begin to meditate and rehearse the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. Wow. Imagine that being our knee-jerk reaction when we're on the enemy is baiting two brothers or two sisters or brother or sister to fight with each other. And they're posturing each other. What if that came to their mind? The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. And I render this ego, I render this pride, as the word says, only by pride cometh contention. Period. To say, no, that pride is dead. That offense is dead. In that moment that we render that thing dead, do you think things will go a little bit smoother in life? Do you believe we might actually experience the reality of kingdom community? Because the greatest sabotage to kingdom life, brothers and sisters, is the dragon of selfishness. It has already been thoroughly dealt with by the cross. Are we in Christ or are we not in Christ?
In Christ.
Then we are not obligated to that sin of selfishness any longer.
Mm.
If you're going to go ahead and give energy to contend against something,
man,
that's all the pornography was, really, at the end of the day. I want my feel good. Okay, I want my way. It's selfishness. It's all rooted in pride and selfishness. What was the motivation of Lucifer's heart when he fell? He was looking at himself. It was his own arrogance and pride. May we not fall into the same trap of that of the serpents. It has been thoroughly dealt with by the cross. So may we have this mind in us. That of Christ. When we're going through our daily lives. And I don't care if you're feeling like you're kind of stumbling a little bit. Steady yourself. And know that sin has been thoroughly dealt with by the cross. Mm-hmm. And he continues and he says this. I'm going to read this again before I continue to verse 8. Verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. So, chew on these things daily. Now, 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. He's done. It is finished, guys. There's nothing else Yahweh can do for us to give us the manifested victory. It's already accomplished. It's already finished. There's nothing more He can do. He gave the ultimate gift this universe can ever display. And that was His beloved Son. He didn't throw chump change at us to redeem us, guys. He reached to the top shelf to give us redemption. He gave Himself. Let's not handle it cheaply, is the exhortation. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. It's done, guys. Death has no more dominion over Him. Does death, sin, hell, and the grave have dominion over Christ? He conquered it, right? Death has no more dominion over Him. Verse 10, for in that He died unto sin once. It's handled, guys. But in that He liveth, He lives unto God. Now look at this. Here's going to be the key, and I'll stop here. There's so much more we can go to, but for time's sake, I want to chew on this a little bit. I'm going to read verse 9 again. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. It's done, guys. Death has no more dominion over Him. Okay? Verse 10. For in that He died unto sin once. But in that He lives unto God. Now here's the kicker, verse 11. Likewise, in the same manner as how Christ overcame. He died once and for sin. It is totally paid. He fully ransomed our lives as we put trust in Him. So likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so here's what I felt the Lord was talking to me about this morning. This word reckon. Okay. Say, brother, sister, that you are struggling in any given moment. There is a responsibility I believe the Lord has given us, and I'm hearing it here. Our responsibility is to apply, to reckon. If we fail to reckon the truth we just read and expounded on, we're not going to get the results of it. We're not going to get the benefits of it. We'll walk out in the lie of defeat. We'll walk out in the lie of depression if we don't render. There is a determination. There is a... It's actually in the mind, there is a determination saying, I am by faith, even an intellectual level, that will drip down hopefully into the spiritual realm. So you have the intellectual and the spiritual coming into agreement that I am not going to live under sin any longer. Like what Jay did. I'm not doing it. If I will, if I go to my natural grave contending against sin, then I will. But here's the key. I believe the key is in that reckoning, this strength, this energy, this determination is about living unto God. So when we have a determination in our hearts, in our minds, in our emotions, in our will, and they're all coming into agreement and alignment, I'm going to reckon this life will be lived unto God. Here's the Lord saying, you fathers being evil, when your son asks you for bread, do you give him a stone? If your son asks you for a fish, do you give him a serpent? How much more will your heavenly Father give you when you ask of him? It's impossible for him to lie. It's impossible for him to withhold from us any good thing. He did not even withhold his son. So it is impossible for us not to get the results if we reckon our lives to be living unto him. I believe this by faith. And I'm saying, guys, let's prove God in this. Amen? And we're proving God in this right here on this campus. We're proving the Lord in this. Because this stuff will be tested, it will be tried, and it will be proven. It's called life. And how do we live our life unto him as disciples? And the proving comes in to see, have you really reckoned that old man is dead? Have you really believed that the price Christ paid is complete? So what I'm exhorting all of us to do is in the realms of our minds, in the realms of our mouth, start using the tools God gave you. Activate appropriate. We talk a lot about appropriation, and watch the Lord bring forth the manifestation. And I believe the manifestation will be this, guys. Man, today I feel alive. Man, I feel like my Lord. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I'm not alone. It's like I'm loved. And we start realizing we're praising him and I'm loved of my Father. I'm valuable. I'm accepted in the beloved. I mean, this is the fruit of it. I mean, do you guys want this? I feel like there's purpose in my life. I'm not an orphan. I'm a son. Man, and this excitement bubbles up. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And it's real. It's not some beautiful little verse out there that's distant from me. I can really have joy. Oh, the peace that passes all understanding. It becomes real, not just a verse in the black and white that's just nebulous. I'm like, well, I read that once, but I never really experienced it. There is a peace that passes all understanding. And so I believe, and may we tenaciously pursue, Lord, I am not going to be denied. I'm going to get my inheritance, guys. And I'm going to experience my inheritance. And we just have to have a determination. I'll tell you something. Passivity is never the answer. It is never the answer. And I will admonish and exhort all of us. Let's aggressively believe the Lord today. Now let's read Hebrews 10 again, 14J, and we'll close with that. This is what we talked about yesterday, because I want to tie that into this. So he's looking for that. Has the price been paid for our redemption, guys?
Yes.
Is it complete? Is it finished that we can walk in newness of life? Is it complete? Is it finished that we have the access now, we have the ability to walk in newness of life in Christ?
Uh-huh.
Is that the truth?
Yes.
Let the redeemed say so. Confess these things over yourselves, guys. Use the sword of your mouth. The Spirit of God is in your words. Use it to say, I am renewed. I am restored. I am redeemed. I am a son. I am a citizen of kingdom. I am an overcomer. We have to rehearse these things.
Amen.
Rehearse them. Use your mouth. Now this is going to tie in to what Jay reads here. Read with a loud voice. Just read 10:14.
For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First he says, this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and write them on their minds.
I'll go ahead and stop right there. That is absolutely powerful. The Lord accomplished the work through His Son, and everything that we need, law, again, law, rule of action. The rule of action, He says, I'm going to put it in your hearts and your minds.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. I'm not going to only put information in you. I'm going to put myself in you, and I'm going to work it out through you. Believe me! Believe me! That's what He wants. Let's believe Him today. Amen. So Father, we need Your help. We realize that You are the fountainhead of life. You are our source. And we by faith say, we believe You. And now Father, manifest these things in our hearts. We are not obligated to sin. We're not obligated to this world. We're not obligated to anything contrary to the nature of Christ. We will live unto God. Amen.